Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here is some music that seems to fit the moment we're in right now. It's a waltz by the 20th century Russian composer Dmitri Shostakovich, intended to invoke jazz music, which became part of his suite for variety orchestra. And here to explain why it's the perfect listen right now is our music opinionator, Fran Hoffner. Hi, Fran.
Hi, Callum. How's it going?
It's going well. So this isn't exactly new music, but why is it on your playlist right now?
You know, I have been a longtime Shostakovich fan. I really love his symphonies, and I listen to them a lot, but his music is often very serious, and even when it's not serious, it's satirical. And I was sort of stumbling through some of the more modern Shostakovich pieces, and this suite I thought was really fun and really surprising, and I think the times we live in right now are starting to become fun and surprising again.
Yeah, there's that renewed sense of optimism as we get into spring and the vaccines are rolling out, but I think that what you're hinting at is that it's sort of surprising for Shostakovich because we know that he had a hard life in a lot of ways. I mean, he survived the brutal purges of Stalinist Russia. He fell in and out of favor in that country. And there's always this raging debate about whether he was a loyal communist or a sellout or a closet dissident. He's someone you've studied closely. What do you make of him?
You know, I think he was someone just trying to survive with whatever moment he happened to be in. I guess maybe that comes closer to sellout than dissident, but he's someone who had a really illustrious career despite two denunciations, and the fact that he has these really sort of jazzy waltzes to go along with his more political, serious music, I think speaks to how prolific he was.
I like that term, jazzy waltzes. The music is kind of edgy, and another reason I think it's sort of relevant right now is we're having this conversation in music right now about how you even categorize different styles. There's such blurring of lines, and we see that right here decades ago. The music is kind of hard to categorize, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't exactly feel like what we think of as classical music. It doesn't really feel like Russian classical music. There's a Westernness, there's almost an Americanness to it. I think it's sort of mischievous. The waltz makes, when I listen to it, I feel like I'm getting away with something. What that is, I don't know, but I wonder if he felt that way too.
Makes it kind of a fun sensibility. And in a way, he was trying to get away with something because Stalin banned jazz music in Russia in 1932. How did he and other composers work around that?
Stalin didn't want jazz from America being played in the USSR, but I think homegrown jazz was sort of allowed, or you could do what Shostakovich did, which is write something for a variety orchestra, or he has another suite for jazz orchestra, and that takes all the instruments that we associate with a symphony orchestra, your strings, your brass, but it adds a lot more modern instrumentation. So often there's saxophone, there's vibraphone, there's xylophone, a lot more fun woodwinds and percussion to really round out the color of it all.
Well, let's listen to a little bit more of it because it is a lot of fun. There is some what I could call ta-da showiness to the music. And this suite begins with a march. Let's take a listen. So, Fran, here I feel like I'm listening to something by John Philip Sousa. What do you hear in that? It's not really actually what we think of as jazz in the classic American sense.
No, it feels a little more formal and militaristic, but there's that xylophone in there that feels kind of funny and fun. And the way that you said it's Sousa-like makes me think that he's almost doing like an imitation of what he thinks this kind of music should sound like. It's just sort of one beat off, feels slightly askew.
And when you say that there's some satire in his music, what do you mean by that? Who's he poking fun at?
Oh, he would certainly always be poking fun at the government, the administrations, the bureaucracy. when he returned after his first denunciation with his Fifth Symphony, he maintained in his autobiography and so on that this was like a satirical symphony. It was making fun of those in power by having the triumphant parts feel almost too triumphant, too overconfident. And I think this march is almost a little too whimsical to be exactly militaristic. It's too playful to be a representative of, you know, the greatness of Russian culture.
All right, well, let's listen to a little bit more of it because it is an awful lot of fun. I want to underscore a piece of this that has what I would say is almost a circus-like feel. Take a listen. So, Fran, there's just this restless energy here. It's kind of a funny-sounding dance, actually. What does it evoke for you as a listener?
Oh, there's so much razzle-dazzle to this. It's very funny to me, and as a former percussionist, I can't help but always hone in on whatever percussion is there. So I'm thinking, like, wow, what a great tambourine part this must be for someone just to dance along with the orchestra.
The names of these different sections of the suite, march, waltz, polka, they are dances. Were people actually supposed to get up and move instead of just sitting and listening?
Probably not. I think that adds to some of the mischief of it, because the music is tempting. It's like, get up, enjoy this. But that's not exactly, you know, how we're supposed to behave when we see the orchestra.
I see. Tempting you to get out on the dance floor when, in fact, the rules are to actually sit still and just listen. I mentioned the polka a little bit ago, and I do want to take a listen to that. This is probably one of the most fun movements of this jazz suite. All right, Fran, you're the percussionist, so I know that you're appreciating that xylophone there.
Oh, yeah. That seems like a very difficult part, but one in which, of course, I'm once again envious of the percussionist who gets to play it. But it's a very modern polka. I think we think of polkas as being from, you know, 75 to 100 years prior. We think of Strauss. We think of Strauss II. Those are very theatrical polkas, and this is almost, like, really laid back. This is just a laid-back polka.
And so this xylophone that you're so fond of comes back at the end of the suite in the finale. So, Fran, this is an awfully fun way to send the audience out after the end of a performance. What do you think Shostakovich is going for there?
I think there's an undeniable sharpness to that finale and a really memorable little tune, especially played on that xylophone. I think what's always compelled me about the xylophone is that it doesn't mesh in with the sound of the orchestra very well. It doesn't blend. It always kind of cuts above the strings, the brass, just because of the nature of the sound that it makes. And so you listen to it and you're just immediately humming it. That's the little melody that you carry out with you into the lobby, into the night after you hear this at the symphony.
You know, just to bring this music back to the current moment, I know that you've written very affectionately about the composer, calling Shostakovich your little nervous guy. And I guess we're all a little nervous right now during the pandemic, although there is that hint of optimism, as we discussed earlier. But why does this music speak to you in this moment?
I think this suite for variety orchestra reminds me that there's more to Shostakovich than his political music and his, you know, denunciations and his comebacks. I'm very inclined, even as a fan of his, to reduce him to, you know, only the capital I important music that he did, and that he also did fun music and lively music and film scores is something that I forget. And I think it's perfect for this moment because it's very easy to essentialize the most important thing that's happening and completely ignore something joyful. So it's a reminder to feel joy and mischief during a time when we maybe feel guilty for doing so.
Yeah, a reminder that we could all use right now. So thank you for bringing us the lighter side of Shostakovich. That's Fran Hoffner. She is Here and Now's music opinionator. Thanks, Fran. This was fun.
Thank you.